and welcome to this edition of Community Connections. I'm your host, Chuck Curlin. Today, we are with Noah Marlier. He is all part of the Montgomery County Courthouse Prothonotary Division. Welcome to the program, Noah.
Thank you so much, Chuck.
So, prothonotary, something that I never heard of until we put this show together. Can you give our audience a little bit of a background on what it is and how it came about?
Yeah, you're off to a good start. You pronounced it perfectly. So, the Montgomery County Prothonotary is a county elected position here in Montgomery County. You have your county commissioners, you have three county commissioners, and you have nine row officers. You got your district attorney and the sheriff. Those are some of the row offices that people hear of a lot. The Montgomery County Prothonotary Office, Prothonotary is an elected position. I was elected back in 2019, re-elected in 2023, and I run an office with 27 people in it, 27 county employees. And our main function is to process and archive the legal filings here in Montgomery County. Not the criminal matters, that's another row office, the clerk of courts, but almost all civil matters. So 9 out of 10 people I talk to and tell them about the prothonotary, they say, what's that? And 1 out of 10 says, I got divorced there, because divorce decrees are filed in the prothonotary's office.
All right, so that makes sense. So how about like, if somebody wants to transfer a title or any real estate transaction, does that fall under your umbrella? Or
not the real estate transactions. The recorder of deeds would record your deed. Any lawsuits, like a civil suit, if you're being sued or suing someone, if you are changing your name, if you are getting evicted from your home and want to appeal that eviction from the local district judge, if you're being abused in a relationship and need a protection from abuse, also called a restraining order in other states, you would come to my office.
And would you work as an advocate if someone came, like say someone was being abused, would you be the advocate or sort of like a protector, a temporary protector until things are sorted out?
Yeah, so we don't act as an advocate. We can't give legal advice. I am an attorney, but as prothonotary, I wouldn't give legal advice. This is a ministerial role, which means someone comes in to file a legal paper. We either accept that legal paper because they meet the requirements, pay the appropriate fee, or we reject that that document because they haven't followed the procedural rules for filing something in the county. We can't act as an advocate, but what we can do is make the process smoother for folks, especially people that are going through a really hard time. I mentioned people changing their names. That can be a really daunting process. People being abused in a relationship. It's an awful situation, and to have to come to court and get help from the courts, that can be very intimidating. So we at the prothonotary's office try to lower the barriers, make it easier. We try to communicate with the residents within the county to let them know that we are a resource, not an advocate, but a resource. And that's why I'm here today.
Well, no, you answered the one question that I was going to ask next. I figured you'd have to be somewhat in a legal background, and you are an attorney. How did you transition into this position? Were you involved in this already and it was an easy transition, or was it something completely different?
Yeah, you don't have to be a lawyer to run this office. I think it really helps. So yeah. I've been an attorney for 14 years now. I was a litigator. I was a district attorney right here in Montgomery County for 4 years. And then I was a litigator, a civil litigator, filing legal papers on behalf of townships throughout Montgomery County and school districts, zoning hearing boards. So I understood how this office ran. I understood how it could be improved, how it could be improved not just for attorneys, but also for regular residents who are filing what's called pro se or without an attorney. I knew some of the ways that it could be improved. And so I think that really helped me transition into the role in 2019.
So when you're in this position, just out of curiosity, are you able to practice law on the side, or you have to just stay in your lane?
I practice just a little bit of law on the side. Keep myself fresh, make sure that I'm staying up to date as an attorney. But my main focus is the prothonotary job. It's a full-time job. I treat it as a full-time job. I've been elected by the residents of Montgomery County twice now to do the job and to do it well and to do it full-time. So I love the position. I love the fact that it's not necessarily 8:30 to 4:30 every day. I could be working on the weekends. I could be working in the evenings. I'll have judges sometimes call me in the evenings. And when a judge calls, you pick up the phone.
And you're working with a team, correct? So it's not just you pulling all the strings here. There's a group of people that work with you. Are any of them attorneys as well, or they come from all walks of life?
So I'm the only attorney in the office, but again, the team consists of 27 employees, and I've got a fantastic team. I've got two deputies. I have an outreach and communications director. I have five supervisors. We have clerks that work forward-facing with the public. We have our own department for protection from abuse, which is, again, the restraining orders that people file for. And we have analysts that work with the folks that are coming in to get a protection from abuse, to guide them through the process of submitting that paperwork. And I'm really, really proud of the team that we have. We do have two offices. One is in Norristown. That is our main office. It's in One Montgomery Plaza, which is that big building right across from the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Willow Grove office, which is over on Old York Road in Willow Grove, kind of right behind the Willow Grove Mall. And there's four of my employees there. That's so that we have two offices kind of opposite sides of the county to better serve the public.
Yeah, it makes sense. I guess geographically, people traveling all the way into Norristown, sometimes it could be a chore.
Sure.
So having it out there works well. I'd be remiss not to mention your communication director, Ann Cornell. Is that right?
That's correct.
She gave me a lot of background information, so at least I wasn't totally blind coming into this process. So hats off to her as well.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Ann's wonderful. And frankly, I think that outreach is really important. So folks might not know what a prothonotary is. They might not know who I am and what I do, but they should. It's really, really important that people in the community, people here in Upper Merion, and I know this is a priority for the Upper Merion supervisors, Board of Supervisors, to make sure that all residents here in Upper Merion, they know what kind of resources are available to them. Someone being evicted from their home, for example, they may think, I just got evicted from the local district by the local district judge after a hearing. That might be the end of the road. If they know, hey, we can appeal that eviction to the Court of Common Pleas, that's an important step. Yeah. And they would do that through my office.
But would that be real estate owning, or I guess not paying a mortgage, or is it rent not paying a rent, or is it both?
It's any kind of eviction.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why I'm curious. I'm sure now in terms of how rents are increasing, you must be seeing a lot more coming through your office.
Well, we really saw not an uptick during the pandemic because there was actually a moratorium on evictions, but we knew that it was going to be a major problem once that moratorium was lifted. So we really did a lot of promotional Zooms where we collaborated with different county leadership, the county commissioners at the time, judges, district judges, to hold forums. And I spearheaded this. Talking to folks about homelessness in this county, housing insecurity, landlord-tenant issues, talking not only about how my office is a resource for people appealing those evictions, but what other resources the county has to offer. I'm a big believer in collaborating with other departments, collaborating with our county commissioners to make sure that we help residents.
Is there a challenge of getting the word out in terms of what your department does for the county?
It is challenging. I mean, again, most people don't even know how to pronounce prothonotary, let alone what it does. But we have, you know, a website, we have social media, we have a really fun Facebook page, Montgomery County Prothonotary, Noah Marlier. We have, we're on Threads. We really try to promote ourselves as much as we possibly can and really meet people where they are.
Yeah, because it would be a benefit. The more people are aware and educated on what your office can do, the more it could reach and help people. And that's one of the reasons, I guess, why we're doing this program, to get the word out, to let people know here in the community that this is, prothonotary is something that could benefit our viewers as well.
That's exactly right.
Could you share with our audience, like, what are some of the initiatives?
Sure. So I'm really, really excited about some of the things we're doing this year. Specifically, and we talked about this in the last segment, the Protection from Abuse Department in my office. This is the department that assists folks that are being abused in a relationship to be able to process their petition to get a protection from abuse. Meaning, they come into our office and they may have been abused even that morning, but they're facing abuse in the home and they have to file paperwork before they get in front of a judge. So we've tried to make that just a little bit easier because that process can be daunting, intimidating, scary. And these folks, many women, oftentimes with children, have to be in the courthouse for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours in a day to go through the entire process. So we're trying to make it just a little bit easier. And one way we did that was you can now file electronically or start the petition electronically from anywhere with an internet hookup. So that's shaving off the amount of time you have to be in the courthouse by 30 minutes, an hour, even 2 hours, which would really make the difference in allowing that option of getting a protection abuse to be a little more available for all folks. So you would fill out the electronic petition, come to my office, come to court administration, and then to my office, and then see a judge. But like I said, it just makes it a little bit easier. And we were the second county in the entire Commonwealth to make this available. I'm really, really proud of that. The second initiative regarding PFAs is our Hope Card initiative. So when someone gets a protection from abuse or a restraining order, they get an order. And it's an 8x12 document, 8x12, your regular size paper. It can be multiple pages. It's a little cumbersome to keep that document on your person. Oftentimes people will keep it in their glove compartment, they'll keep it at home. But the fact of the matter is, it's cumbersome. So we've reduced that order, the important information, relevant information, down to a credit card size document called a Hope Card that I send to anyone who's gotten a final restraining order, a final protection from abuse. On the back, there are resources, the Women's Center of Montgomery County, Laurel House, Victim Services in Montgomery County, resources for that person. And on the front, again, it's the pertinent information that comes from their final PFA. That's important because if they're out in public and their abuser is trying to harass them or walking behind them, intimidating them, they can go right up to a police officer, say, I have a protection from abuse. Here's my Hope Card. And that officer will see the important information right away, right on that document, and they can look up and see that they have a final restraining order or final PFA. So it makes the process easier for law enforcement as well. I'm really, really proud of this. But I got to tell you, you know, these kinds of initiatives are really important to me, near and dear to my heart, because I think when you're a public servant, you should be truly helping people that need help the most. And that should be the question you're asking yourself every day. Am I helping people that need help the most? When I was younger, I was in the Peace Corps. I was a public school teacher. And those kinds of things instilled in me those values of helping people and serving the public.
Yeah, I would see like being involved in the Peace Corps is a nice transition to what you're doing now, because it's all about trying to help and serve the community. And you were doing it on a whole different level. That must have been a fascinating experience.
It really was. When I was 24 years old, I had been a public school teacher for a couple of years. I went off to Malawi, Africa. It's one of the poorest countries in the world. Very small country, about the size of Pennsylvania, similar in population. And I served for over 2 years. I was a teacher trainer. I lived in a mud hut for 3 months and then a house with a tin roof and a concrete floor for the next 2 years. And it was an amazing experience. You know, I hope I helped some people, but frankly, I probably got more out of it than maybe I even helped. But it really, you know, changed my life in a lot of ways, but it taught me or kind of deepened my desire to serve and to be a public servant.
I'm always curious when you're in a third world country, I guess it's fair to say, what the medical treatment's like there. It must be very limited, right?
Well, I'll tell you, it was the best healthcare I ever had because it was Peace Corps was the federal government. So if there were any health issues at all for me, it was fantastic.
Right.
But unfortunately for the folks there, for the residents, healthcare in Malawi was really poor for the people of Malawi, for Malawians. We did have health volunteers. That was one of the things that they focused on. And I think that's very, very important. Again, I was in education and a teacher trainer. So I was training teachers at 6 different schools, biking around sometimes 25 miles one way, 50 miles in a day to different schools. And it was quite an experience.
What was the biking on dirt roads as well?
For sure.
Yeah. You were in pretty good shape.
I was in the best shape of my life. That's gone now, but best shape of my life. And you know, and again, being able to help people day in and day out, feeling like you're learning from them, they're learning from you, you're exchanging that culture and those skills. The whole first year I was there, I just listened to the teachers, listened to what their challenges were, and then worked with the teachers there in Malawi to educate one another and to educate other teachers there in Malawi.
So you could see that your educational background in terms of helping to educate is a nice transition to what you're doing now in the Thanatary Division as well. Do you see people that you're in I guess close quarters with out of the 27 employees mm-hmm. are following that same type of path?
My employees are incredible. They all they want to do is help folks. And I see it day in and day out. They're here to help. Anyone listening to this or watching us, I hope you know that you can come to the Prothonotary's office. And again, we can't give you legal advice, but my folks will walk you through that process. Any legal filing, they will walk you through the procedure of filing that document. And they're there for you. And they do it with a smile, and they do it every day. And a lot of the folks that are coming into my office, they might be being sued, they might be being abused in a relationship, they might be being evicted. They're going through tough times. And I think that's when government can help the most. When folks are going through a hard time, that's when government is needed the most. And we're here for the residents of Montgomery County.
Well, here's an interesting question, because knowing your passion and how you care about people and being an attorney, mm-hmm. you're not allowed to give legal advice. How difficult is it for you to pull back when you know, hey, I really want to help this person and my education could do that, but you're limited on what you could do?
So what we've done in my office, and I'm really, really proud of this, we've had trainings in my office on customer service, and we've done it as often as we can. It's not just you have a training and then go years without training again. We do these trainings quite often so that my folks know they'll never end a conversation with someone who's filing a legal paper with, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that.
Okay.
They will say, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. That's legal advice. But right over on the wall there, there's some resources available. And you can call Legal Aid of Southeastern Pennsylvania. You can call the Bar Association and see if you can get an attorney at a reduced cost. So we always offer resources to folks, even if we can't answer those legal questions. And it's tough sometimes. You right. want to help in that way, but we really can. And sometimes there's a fine line there. And I think people that are filing legal papers, they get it. They understand that my clerks are not attorneys. They want to help, but they can help in a certain way. But again, if they can't help directly, we're going to point you in the right direction.
Well, and that was my next question. So say you have three options. Mm-hmm. Are you allowed to give them the best option, or is that considered giving legal advice?
Yeah. We can't really give that best option.
Okay.
We want to stay away from giving legal advice. We don't want to steer people the wrong way.
Right.
Being a lawyer is tough.
Right.
And sometimes people think, you know, oh, this is an obvious answer, but sometimes it's not. There's a lot of nuance to these legal situations. And frankly, if it's a plaintiff filing a legal paper, we can't help that person with legal advice because there's a defendant or defendants on the other side. It would be unfair for us to help one side over the other. And we don't do that in any way in my office. What we do is we help people with the filing itself. And if it's a legal matter, we point them in the right direction.
Noah, you talked a little bit about some of the initiatives. One thing that caught my attention and that I would like to ask now is the name change initiative. That has to be something that doesn't come too easy. And give us an idea of like why someone would want to change their name.
Sure. I am so proud of this initiative. It's really one of its kind in the area. We've done a name change clinic for the last 3 years. And it's really geared towards the LGBTQ plus community. Folks in that community sometimes want to change their name. They might be transitioning, want to change their name to a name that really they can identify with and that is of their choosing. And we've reached out to these folks. We've tried to meet them where they are. We've had anywhere between 10 and 20, 25 folks participating in these name change clinics. What we do is we match people up with an attorney free of charge. The attorney goes over the process with them. And this is really, really important because the name change process is not the most complicated thing, but it can be pretty daunting if you're not accustomed to the legal world, if you're not accustomed to the courts, going before a judge. There's some things that you would want to know. And so we get attorneys from the Bar Association. We've collaborated with them from Legal Aid of Southeastern Pennsylvania. Both have been such great partners. And we get attorneys. We line them up with these folks that want to change their name, walk them through the petition process, and then even accompany them to court a couple months later when they have their hearing. People change their name for all sorts of reasons. Whatever that reason is, it's so important to them. What is more important to your identity and who you are as a human being than your name and how you hold yourself out to the world? And if you want to be called something other than your official name, it's really, really important that you be given that opportunity to do so. So I'm so proud of this name change clinic. We'll have another in the fall. And continue to meet people where they are and try to reach out to them wherever they are in Montgomery County to participate in this clinic.
That's pretty cool. Are there other initiatives that are done on a like seasonal basis as well?
Well, so we have our name change clinic. We've been traveling to township supervisor, township commissioner, board, council meetings all around Montgomery County. We've been to Soderton, we've been to Plymouth, we're going to other municipalities all throughout the county to talk about our PFA initiatives that we've spoken about. So I'm a big believer in continuing to reach out to as many people as I can about all the different initiatives that we do, but so proud of the work we're doing, not just with name changes, not just with PFAs, but also landlord-tenant issues. We've been going around in municipalities over the course of my time as prothonotary and speaking about the different resources we have for people being evicted. This is an issue that disproportionately impacts people in the Black and Brown communities in mm-hmm. Montgomery County. And I want to make sure that we're helping people that need help the most. And so the things that we do in my office, the resources that we have available, really are trying to help those who need help the most. People being evicted, people changing their names, people being abused in relationships. They all need help. And I think as a public servant, I'm going to continue to speak out about these issues.
You hit a point that I'm curious to ask the tenant landlord. Mm-hmm. Now, if a tenant's unable to pay the rent, mm-hmm. then the landlord can't pay, I guess, if they have a mortgage on the property. How does that all, like, how do you sort that all out? Because it seems like a snowball effect.
Yeah, it's a really tough situation. So just to be very clear, my office, when we take landlord-tenant appeals, they can be appeals from the landlord, they can be appeals from the tenant. Often are appeals from the tenant, but it could be from both. And we treat everyone the same. We walk them through that process. We make sure that they understand how to file that appeal. I am a big believer in helping specifically the tenants, because oftentimes the tenants are in a position where they can't afford, by the nature of being evicted, they can't afford an attorney, like oftentimes the landlord can. But I am acutely aware of the fact that not every landlord is trying to just get rid of people or kick right. them out of their home for no reason. Oftentimes, landlords are folks that have one apartment, maybe two, and yes, they have to pay those mortgages. They might be in a pickle as well if their tenant is not paying the rent. So these are situations that impact folks in a myriad of ways, and we're trying to reach out to everyone.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because I know it always seems that the tenant always seems to have more rights than the landlord. I don't know if that's true or not, but it just looks that way. And I'm saying, well, how about if you have a landlord who bought a house, maybe they had one room they wanted to rent, but that sure. was subsidizing, I guess, their mortgage. And if they're not paying, it's probably tough to get the tenant out. Right. And it could be an ugly situation.
It can be, and it can be really tough on the landlord, and I'm sensitive to that. I will say that the vast majority of the time, the landlord can afford an attorney okay. and the tenant cannot. So they go before a district judge and then they go before a common pleas judge. It's actually a little tilted the other way in some circumstances, in many circumstances.
So now that you're in your second term, correct? Mm-hmm. Do you see anything? What do you have envisioned for the future? Is there something you're allowed to share with the public?
Yeah, I envision continuing to run this office as effectively and efficiently as I possibly can. I'm a big believer that our government and our government institutions are for the people, and they should be run effectively and efficiently for the people to get the resources out to them. I'm also a big proponent of ethical government, and I believe that all of our elected officials should put efficiency and effectiveness and being ethical at the forefront. So I'm going to continue to be the Montgomery County Prothonotary. I love my job. I love being an elected official. I love the fact that I am beholden to the public. I'm on your show so that people know what I do, and I'm very clear about what I do and what my priorities are, and that's going to be my focus moving forward.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, did you ever hear of a 30-second elevator pitch?
Uh-huh.
That's the first thing I thought of. I'd say, if I was in the elevator with you and you told me you were part of the prothonotary, I'd be like, what in the world is that? Tell me in 30 seconds before we get off this elevator what you're actually doing. You know, that's the thought that comes to mind.
And Chuck, you know, to me, there's the 30-second elevator speech about what the prothonotary is, but you should be able to explain in 30 seconds who you are as an elected official, whether you're a dog catcher, whether you're on the Board of Supervisors of Upper Marion, and I know they can appreciate this and they do, or whether you're the prothonotary or a U.S. senator, you should be able to explain what good government means to you as well. And I'm a big believer in that. So I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity. I appreciate the Upper Marion Board of Supervisors and what they do, because I know they're all about good government as well.
Yeah. Does it seem that in terms of good government, is there a township that you seem to have, I hate to say, a better relationship with, or they seem to be more in line with your view as other townships that are in Montgomery County?
You're going to get me in trouble now. Upper Marion, it's
not a trick question.
No.
But as you know, there might be a township that says, you know what, they get it. They're doing everything the right way.
Yeah.
And you've been around long enough to know who's doing the right thing.
Sure. I'll tell you this much. All honesty, Upper Marion is leading the charge on this. I had a conversation with Supervisor Kenny, about a year ago about homelessness and affordable housing. And I know she and she's just so passionate and caring. Mm-hmm. And that came across in our conversation. But I pride myself on working with all the municipalities in Montgomery County. Like I said, we've gone around to the different municipalities talking about these PFA initiatives all the way up to Soderton and down to Plymouth and all throughout the county. And to me, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican board, Democratic board, I'm going to work with you. We're going to collaborate.
That's perfect. So someone watching this program, looking for more information of the prothonotary, how would they go about doing so?
Sure. So our office has a webpage. I would encourage everyone to go to the Montgomery County Prothonotary website. We are on social media, very active on social media. I think it's fun. I think it's informative. You can look for that on Noah Margaret Lear, Montgomery County Prothonotary Facebook, Instagram, as well as Threads. And of course, our offices are in Norristown, right across from the courthouse in 1 Montgomery Plaza, and in Willow Grove at 102 York Road. And again, you know, we are here for the public. We're here to serve the public. And I encourage the public to reach out to us in all those ways.
Well, Noah, we'd like to thank you for being our guest here today. It's been fantastic. A true learning experience.
Thank you.
Noah Marlier, he has been our guest here today on Community Connections.